You didn't think you were singing that at Christmas, did you? If you're even half paying attention in the service, you would know that the theme today has something to do with light. I mean, before you even came in the one door or just inside the other one, you saw in the decoration the idea of light. And I always like at Christmas season to have something that kind of weaves all four of our weeks together. And so the item that obviously from our invite, the idea of the child, to look at the baby and think certain things. I want you to keep looking at the child, not the one yelling, but the child, okay? All right, we're family. We know how to do this together. So to look at the child and think certain things. See, the people of Israel, as they waited for Messiah, and as they thought about how he's going to come to earth, they knew, okay, he's going to come, it said it in the Old Testament, he's going to come as a child. So for generations, they would read those prophecies and think about this child that would be born. And probably even question as they would hold certain children to say, is this that child? And what would that mean? Like, what truths should be connected with the idea of that child? And so this sermon series is just going to put four or five ideas that I think were in the minds of the Israelites as they waited for that child. They expressed some of these things as they held the child. And so I would think it must have been on their mind. And as we think about child, as we think about for our children here, as we think about baby Jesus, what should we think? Not just, oh, baby Jesus, he's cute, he's little. No, well, there's something more that should be on our mind, and so we're going to let this happen. By the way, as I think about our children that are in this service, make sure you check out the stable that's out in the foyer. Okay, now I know there were donkeys earlier. I mean, talk about a ruckus in church. Did our decorating people do an incredible job? I mean, they not only put this, you know, lambing cave barn up here for us, but they had donkeys outside and snow. I mean, they just did the whole nine yards, didn't they, in decorating, helping us think these ways. But kids, I just tell you, go look later at that manger scene and see if you can see what's missing in the manger scene. Okay, you go look. Check it out after the service so that you're thinking about the child and what we should think. So today's service is about light. We'll start with that. Now, I have to make a little confession. I'm not always entirely spiritual when I start thinking about preaching. That's probably not a good thing, is it? But I was sitting at my desk, and I had been thinking spiritual thoughts about light because I love that picture, and I know how some of it fits with Christmas. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, Christmas lights. So, I mean, what is the first thing that pops into your head when you think of Christmas lights? For me, it's what's going to come on the screen here in just a second. When I think about Christmas lights, I think of this. Epic fail. And it has something to do with how well I decorate. I'm just telling you, okay? Like, I have got my wife down to outside decorations being every other year a wreath with some lights in it. You know, pretty much because I fail so miserably at some of the rest. You know, when I think of Christmas lights, I have to admit, I don't think spiritual things. I think of epic fail. Or sometimes I think about the next picture that comes up here. I think of those who don't know when to say enough is enough. You know what I mean? And you're kind of like, okay, I think I have a picture. I'm not sure what it means anymore. We found that for the first time maybe in our life, we were driving through Chicago this time of year. And right now, like the Schaumburg area, there are just tree after tree, all put together, deciduous trees, with lights wrapped around them all through several communities right there as you go by on the highway. It's absolutely breathtaking. It's beautiful. So lights, I mean, they are beautiful. Sometimes they're overdone. Sometimes they fail. But what should we really think when we think child and we think light? What would God have in our mind? Certainly, Christmas and lights, we think of the star. But I think Scripture would point at something that's even more than that, far more than that. Matter of fact, maybe even an image in one of these passages that you haven't put with Christmas. You've put it with other parts of your life, possibly. But most of us, when we think of Christmas, we don't think of sunrise, do we? Go with me, though, to Luke chapter 1, as the light of the world is introduced in this passage and is called, in the older versions, dayspring, but it literally means the light springing up at the beginning of the day. sunrise. In Luke 1, verses 77 and 7 through 79, we have Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, speaking. And he's speaking first of his son, and then he speaks of Jesus. He says of his son, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of sins because of the tender mercy of our God. He says, this is going to be John's, you know, mission, to help our people know how to be forgiven, to know salvation because God is merciful to us. That's John's passion. And how's that going to happen? He says, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. He says, the dawning of a brand new day. That's what Christmas is. It's a brand new light that has never been in the world like it was that first Christmas. And it's never been the same in this world since that first Christmas. He says, this sunrise that will visit us from the highest of heights, okay, from the throne room of God, that which is above all that is earthly. He says, the sunrise will come to give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death. So the first people I want to talk to today are those who may be in this service, and though Christmas can be a great time, and it's often festive and sometimes fun, and matter of fact, we may even think church is kind of a good place to be at Christmas. I'm going to speak to some who are here today that are, as the verse said, in darkness. I don't know you, all of you. Don't know where you sit. Are you in darkness? Are you at a spot where you do not have the light of Christ, as this passage is talking about? The dawn has not happened in your life of a brand new day. Are you in darkness? You know, darkness is uncomfortable, isn't it? I don't know how I get talked into this, and yet I sort of love it. It's kind of like a conflicting thing, and I've heard this is true of most waterfowl hunters, that there's kind of a love-hate relationship with hunting ducks and geese because there's tremendous work. And I get out on these trips like I was a few weeks ago with, I call them friends from Calvary here, and they get me up at like 3:30 in the morning. Just so you know, that's bedtime, okay? So they get me up in the middle of darkness, and they take me out where it's cold and wet, and we can't find where we're supposed to go. You know, GPS doing this. I'm like, what do we do before phones? And I did it before phones. It was bad. We're lost, and we're in muck up to here, and it smells bad. And the darkness is closing in on us everywhere. There is nothing better at those moments than when sunrise happens. I mean, the water has a totally different look. And the beauty of the day is like, this is not the same place I was 10 minutes ago. How is that? Some of you have done this, and I don't even know how this works because you've been in a hospital with someone you love, very, very sick, and nighttime in a hospital is the worst, isn't it? And you can't even see a window sometimes, but there's something about the new day. It's as if bodies even react to it. I mean, you see people who are ill, and the new day dawns, and there's hope that kind of rests on us often at those times. What an incredible picture that God has said, because he's the definer of it, that Jesus is like sunrise in the darkness. The light for those who are in a dark spot. And whether you know it or not, if you do not have Christ in your life, you're in a dark spot because you have what the Bible calls sin in your life, things that are wrong. You've done that you shouldn't have done, things that you didn't do that you should have done. And these are sin, and they're a block between you and God. And they put you in darkness. Matter of fact, your very ability to process and do right is inhibited. You're in darkness. You do not have light. No one naturally has light. We're born in darkness. The light comes from Christ himself. He said, you're in darkness. And you may say, well, you know, I'm doing okay with that darkness. Let me tell you, you are in, as it says here, the shadow of death. You might think your life is okay. Let me just tell you this truth. You might be about to die. You don't know. On the way to church here this morning, I'm a Wisconsin driver. It snows. The first snow, what do you do when you're a Wisconsin driver? You slow down. Those of us who are old. The rest of you are like, spin it out, man. You know, no, that's wrong. Okay, so I'm driving, and I come to the first stop sign that's a major intersection. Well, there's actually lights at it. There's lights, and I have the green light, and what did I do? I slowed down because I saw a lady coming. I'm like, she can't stop for her red light, and she did not. She went sideways right through the light in front of me, and I looked at her like, that was red. I have green, you know. So let her go, you know, whatever. What if I hadn't been paying attention this morning? I don't know. Right? You don't know on your way home. My son is a freshman in college, one of them. And he is a, you know, when you go away to college, you kind of get a peer group pretty quickly. And as Paul Carlson and I were talking, your closeness accelerates because you have all this time together. And so his little peer group is probably, you know, 6 or 8, 10 people that they do a lot of stuff together. One of the girls in that group is in on life support this morning. You know, she went home kind of congested for break, continued to cough, ran a high fever, ended up with pneumonia, and her body just all of a sudden shut down. And she's been in life support for about 3 days, and a little bit of progress, but not much. Totally healthy college student. Yeah, going home for break, ready to rest, be with family. You have no idea. We're all in the shadow of death. But those of us who have the light, there's no shadow to it, is there? We're in the light. Shadow's gone. We're just like, yeah, could die. Heaven, right? Hallelujah. You know, we come to communion. What do we always finish communion with? You know, maybe today, right? In our hearts, we're saying, maybe today. Rapture, and we're out of here in glory together. But if you don't know Christ, you don't have that light. Let me tell you, you're in the shadow of death, and you know it, and it bugs you, and it should bug you, and it should cause you to say, I need to know the light. And that's what today's message is about, that you would know him, and that you would come into that light that he has shown for you. That's his purpose. Light to guide darkness. You know, light in darkness, light in death. And then he says, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He is our guide. He's our peace. Last week, we talked a little bit about possible changes around here in my life, things to pray for. And if you weren't here last week, we'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. Maybe can catch you up. But as we're praying about those things, I'm at peace. I have no idea the future. I mean, we could be in glory tomorrow. Amen? That may be our future. We don't know. We just think we know something, you know. But I have peace because I'm in the light. There's a guide for my life. And I know it. And that's what those of us who have the light, we know that, don't we? We have that from God. He says, and this is the part... go just maybe a page over in your Bible to Luke 2:32, but we're talking about this theme of light. The next place it comes up is Simeon, and Jesus has been born, and he's holding Simeon, this child, up. I told DJ and Tiani to get on it so that I had a baby to hold up here for this point, but they didn't listen this week too well. But, you know, so I'm thinking Simeon's holding this baby in the temple, and he knows who this baby is, and he says, this is a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of Israel. See, Israel's waiting for this baby of light. And Simeon, I mean, he's an Israelite. He's like, man, this is the baby of light. But he says, it's not just for us. But he says, it's for Calvary Baptist Church. Amen? I mean, the rest of the world, the coastlands and the areas around Israel, some of them occasionally understood the glory of Israel, the coming glory, Yahweh and who he is. They got little pieces of that, and some of them even believed and became part of that nation by belief. But the world as a whole is darkness. But Christ has come, and he is light to the Gentiles. Now, some of you might be saying, this Jesus thing, I knew somebody dragged me to church, it's Christmas, this is a really old story, this is a really old thing, how does this work? You know, is it really legit today? Let me tell you, Christ has been revealed across the globe at this time in history like no other time. And it is on a fast pace to completely cover the globe. Every language, tribe, and tongue. As God prophesied, it is happening. We drove through Chicago, I'm flipping the radio. There were four Christian radio stations that I got as I'm flipping through. I'm like, the truth of God across the globe, it goes out everywhere. Unlike 100 years ago in Wisconsin, the truth goes out far more rampant. Why? Because Christ came to be a light to the whole world. And it's unrefutable, okay? It's happened and is happening. You got to do something with that. I'm just telling you. For me, as someone in the light, I go, yeah, right? I just have a confidence like, yep, that's exactly what God did because that's who he is. The light to the Gentiles, the glory of Israel. Well, let's take one other passage about light, kind of to put a few more pieces or ideas there. Go to John chapter 1. I'll give you two. There are more than this about Christ as light, but here are a couple of passages that have a lot of light in them so that you can go home and think about this a little bit more. In John 1, it speaks of him being the true light of men. Let me just read first few verses of John 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." These first four verses speak numerous things, and we could probably preach a whole message on them, but let me just boil it down to something simple, and that is, he's the true light of men because he is Creator God. He spoke, Jesus, hear this, Jesus Christ is God. Okay, we got a little whimper here. This sets us apart from, like, all kinds of cults and all kinds of things that are messed up truth-wise, okay? Jesus Christ is God. And he was with the Father in the beginning. And Christ created all things by his spoken word. That's why it's capitalized W, let me tell you. He is the Word. And it says in that he is life because he breathed life into man. He became a living soul. And every man after that, living soul, man and woman, is life because of Christ. In addition to that, he says he is the light. Now, we talk of life and light together, often. Anybody ever use the expression or read the expression, the light in his eyes went out? Right? We use that to express death sometimes, or at least soul death, right? Like being very down. Either idea. He says the light went out because light and life, they go together. And probably because this passage puts them that way. Jesus Christ is life. He made us. We exist because of him. And at the same time, he is the light. What would that mean? I spent some time thinking about how is he the light to every man? Well, for every man, he gave us life. That's the first thing. And to those who believe, as this passage is going to talk about, the light of Christ does certain things. To those who don't believe, the light of Christ does certain things. To those who don't believe, the light of Christ condemns. We're back to that. Because the light of Christ shines, and if you choose not to be in it, you're in the shadow. And it reveals in that very shadow and darkness way that you are not part of him. It reveals. It reveals to the believer in another way, doesn't it? The light comes on and you're like, oh man, didn't know that was wrong. Right? Has that ever happened to you? Like every time at communion, right? A few minutes, we're going to examine ourselves at communion. I've never come to the communion table and not seen something in my soul from Christ that needed change. Always. Always. Because if you come and say, well, I don't need changed, you're deceived. Because the First John would tell us that if we say we have no sin, we lie. There's always stuff that God is saying, whoa, careful. Because the light of Christ reveals these things in us, doesn't it? The light of Christ gives clear direction to our life. I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing in life. How about you? I do. I'm supposed to be reconciling people to Jesus Christ. That's the work of every believer. I don't have to wonder about it. I don't have to get up in the morning and go, what's the purpose of my life? No, that's the purpose of my life. as God's kid, to reconcile people to God. And if I'm going to be a reconciler, God would say, be ye holy as I am holy. I'm clear as a bell on what I need to be set apart to God, his child, his way. Amen? Isn't that you? The light of Christ just, it puts a clarity and a direction to our life. I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Those two things. It's true of every believer. Light is often associated and should be with power, isn't it? A laser has great power, doesn't it? Focused light. You think about what we have in the light of Christ shines down on us. We have power from Christ for exactly what we're supposed to be. The light of Christ reveals to us the Father so that we know who God is and we know how to please him. The light of Christ to every man. This light, Jesus, dwelt among mankind. Look at verse 5 in John 1. It says, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So Christ came, he shone as light in the world, and the darkness of the world did not taint him at all. One of the things, when you come to the table in just a few moments, we take the bread, you ought to remember, he was sinless. He was light in the world, and no darkness, no pollution came to him. Absolute perfection on earth. He was not overcome. He came to his own, and they did, it said in the passage, they did not know him. He came to reveal the Father, but they did not know. There's kind of a difficulty here, isn't there? We hear these things that he came as light in darkness, but darkness doesn't want the light. He came to reveal the Father, and they don't know, even though he's revealing. He came to give this gift of light, and they did not receive. And in not receiving, they demonstrated not believing. Think about that. It's pretty obvious. If I went back to Sarah, who's holding the baby back there, and I said, here, let me hold that baby. And she handed that baby to me. You'd know whether I received that baby, wouldn't you? Because if I went, psych, you'd all beat me up, right? Because it'd be totally wrong. No, you'd know if I took that child in my arms, right? You know what receive is. That's why God uses this word. Because believe, how do you know if someone believes? It's a little tougher to see, isn't it? It's kind of an abstract idea. But to receive, we know what that is. And so he says, here's Christ, the light. He came saying that this is who he is. He is Savior. It says here, those who believe in his name, he's Savior. He came to rescue, as we already sang, from sin, to save us from death and hell. He is Christ, the anointed one, the one that was promised, and he came as promised. Do you receive that? You say, yes, I agree, and my dependence is on it. Is that what you're doing? That's what receive is. Did you receive him as Savior? As Christ, as Lord, that he is the I am, he is God come to earth, above all, holding everything together. Do you receive that? He said, those who've received or believe, he uses the word synonymously here, those who believe that, they have this light then in them, the true light which gives light to everyone who has come now into the world. Light came to bring this belief. Have you believed? And if you believed, it's always by that action or connectivity of receiving of real trust between you and God. I started with talking about darkness and light. If you're in darkness, if you're in the shadow of death, you don't have confidence that if you were to die today, you'd be in heaven. I ask you to wrestle with, have you received Christ? Because he says, if you've received him, then you are in his family. And that light is in you, and there is no darkness at all. You say, but I sin. 1 John, it says, but his blood is cleansing us. Literally, cleansing, 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 cleansing. That's what's happening. If we're in the light, he constantly is cleansing us because we need that. Have you believed? Have you received? We're going to go to communion. And I want you to be thinking three things as we examine ourselves for communion. We come to communion, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. That's why we do it. It's not because of what Pastor John wants to do. It's because God said this is what we should do. And we examine ourselves. And so I ask you to examine yourself and ask first, are you in darkness, in the shadow of death, or do you have the light? Have you received Jesus as the light? First thing. Because if you have not received Jesus as the light, don't take communion, because it has no meaning then. It's just symbolic. It doesn't bring you anything. It has no meaning except for, to you, unless you truly receive the light. And you say, yeah, this I'm trusting what Christ has done that this pictures. So if you have not believed, don't take communion. If you're not received, you're not sure on that, just let it go. Matter of fact, you'll be worshiping God at that moment by letting it go by, because you're agreeing with him, okay? So examine yourself. Of course, if you find yourself in darkness, well, Jennifer's going to play in just a minute. While she's playing, receive Christ. He came to die for you. He's come to give you this gift. Just receive that. Oh, there's no magic words. It's just saying, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I need your help for my salvation. I want to follow you. You speak that in your mind to God, and he knows, let me tell you, and receives you every time. It's this promise. Secondly, if you are walking, or if you're in the light, I'm asking you as Christians, are you walking in the light? Because if we're not walking in the light, if we've received the light and we're like, as we said in our ABF today, we're putting a bushel basket over the light. What is that? What are we doing? That doesn't fit with this. No, if we have received the light, we need to walk in the light, not in darkness. So this is a time to say, God, is there darkness that has crept into my life? Confess it and have it gone. Do work with God to know maybe what needs to be put into your life in the quiet here as you examine. Maybe there's darkness because there's been evil between you and somebody else. If you can't square that in the service, some of you use texting for that, I wouldn't recommend that. Okay, face-to-face, phone call would be much better so we're clear, okay? You may need to step out and do that. That's more important than taking communion. Or you may need to just wait and do that after the service. But follow through. Check, are you in darkness? Last, for the believer who says, yeah, I'm walking in the light, that's my trajectory, there may be something to adjust, I would just say this. He says that Christ came to let light shine out of darkness. And it has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God to others. So let me ask you, as you examine yourself, is your life being lived in such a way that with action and with mouth, with words, that you are giving the light of the glory of God? You might want to look at the 2 Corinthians passage. I don't know. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 through 7. You might want to go there as you examine and say, is that me? If Pastor Jack interviewed your employer, would they say, let me tell you about this lady. There's a glow about her. Yeah, light. People say that about Christians sometimes. There's a glow about them. There's something different. Would they say that right out of the gate? If not, ask God, examine you to say, what needs to change to worship? You go ahead and examine yourself. We'll let Jennifer play, and we'll call you back to attention in a moment or two.